7:05, time to visit a Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift. Do it now. Sean Salisbury coming up in exactly 1 hour. Four down territory, the easiest four down territory ever. A four down territory that we should have an hour on it alone is coming up at 7:17. Katie, you missed some of the beginnings stuff, as I understand it.
Yeah, apparently I turned on the game when it was the coin toss, like right before President Bush and Mrs. Bush came out. So
you missed
the national anthem.
You missed Toby Keith singing the national anthem.
It wasn't Toby Keith, was it? It was Luke Bryan. Get your mind right.
Same thing.
Totally. Not even close to the same thing.
Exactly the same thing.
All right.
But you also missed this. I don't know if it was the whole cast of Hamilton or some cast members of Hamilton or whatever. Three of them. They did America the Beautiful. We have it right here. We won't play the whole national anthem because that's long. But here's their rendition of America the Beautiful. Okay, we don't have to play the whole thing.
No.
You should listen to it. It's really good, though. It is amazing. Like, honestly, it's one. I mean, Ray Charles is the GOAT at America the Beautiful. Like, that is the one thing we're going to talk about today.
The end all be all.
Indebatable. But that was.
I can agree with that.
All right, here's some things, guys. The Super Bowl happened yesterday. Don't know if you knew it yet, but it did, in fact, happen. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about, including here are some factoids for you. 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140, not a factoid. The Falcons led for 41 minutes and 18 seconds. The Pats did not lead the game until they, won the game.
Yeah.
Pats covered. How about that?
Yeah,
Pats
true.
Did cover. For Belichick and Brady, it is their 25th postseason win together. The next duo up has 10 less.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like 10 or
something. Yeah. Tom Brady in the fourth quarter in his last two Super Bowl appearances, 29 of 36. That's 81% completion, 320 yards. That's almost 9 per attempt, 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady broke Kurt Warner's record for yards thrown in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
By 48 yards.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah,
maybe you guys can remind me which one of those little dudes it was, but there was a play. It was either on the second. It was maybe on the second to last drive where I knew that Brady was really feeling it, and it was definitely over for the Falcons defense. It was just a little quick out route to the right.
I think it was either Lewis or Wright.
No,
or White.
It was a white dude. But I can't remember if it was Amendola or Edelman. Back to that conversation. Or God, it could have been Hogan.
Sure.
I think
Amendola.
Was it Amendola? I think it was Amendola.
Okay, but I mean, it was just right side, quick little out pattern. The dude was smothered, but I mean, just a perfect spiral right in there. And it was like, okay, he's finally found his rhythm. This is it. After the first half that was such a disaster, now he's feeling it, and they just didn't look back.
So all through the beginning of the first half, like they're talking so much, about Atlanta and how they were scoring, but they had hardly run any offense. You know, they had so few, snaps and all this stuff. And when you look at the final of the game, do you guys feel that that has any kind of weight on momentum and flow? Because like you said, I mean, Brady looked really, really bad in the first half of the game. Like timing, everything. They had dropped passes. There were so many things that were wrong. So do you think it was because he had so many attempts and they had so many, snaps that it allowed him to work himself into a flow? And then on the opposite side, you're like, it had been an hour since the offense for Atlanta had even taken a snap between when they got the ball in the second half of the game. Does that factor into it at all for you?
Makes them a little colder. It's definitely a rhythm. I mean, sports are a rhythm game, and there was no rhythm for the Patriots in the first half at all. There was negative rhythm. And in the second half, almost like a, not to coin the, use that term jazz band, but it's almost like, you get into it and you hear a little drum and then there's a snare and then
just play the right notes?
Right. I thought, and the biggest things, again, we were discussing yesterday afterwards in the world of social media, I think this is the best 12 months in sports history. I don't think it's close.
What other year would you like? Is there a couple other years you can put in there?
No, there's not. We've seen 2-3-1 leads blown.
Let me give it to you because we got it right here. Here's one thing, and I remember thinking there was a shooting, gunshots.
Yeah.
So you had Cleveland winning their first ever title. This isn't in order, as
coming
you were saying.
Coming back from 3-1.
Come back from 3-1. You had the Cubs winning, coming back from down 3-1. By the way, they're playing the Indians.
Yeah.
So you had the two biggest losers.
Either
in the
way,
game.
It was going to be amazing.
Villanova
right.
with the greatest finish ever in college basketball.
A race to 7-point deficit.
Yes, they did. you had Clemson upsetting Alabama in what was a phenomenal game.
Deficit. Yep.
Yes. Then you had last night on top of that. Add in there, if you want, just for funsies, although this isn't part of my main argument, but just for funsies, you had what Serena did. You had Roger Federer and what he just did. You had all the Olympic moments that just happened that you can all throw in there. Some people wanted to throw in the Conor McGregor UFCs, and we're going all over the place, and somebody, I think, said something about Formula One, whatever. When you're talking about the major American sports plus college football and basketball, those are the five biggies right there. I don't see how it's debatable that you have not had a better 12-month stretch than this.
Is there anything in golf we can throw in there from this last year? I don't really think that there.
Leicester City. That's right. Thank you, Matt George. 5,000-1 underdogs. And I know people aren't soccer people, but screw it.
Yeah,
you're
that's
a 5,000-1 dog, and you won the Premier League in England, which, by the way, has been around since the 1800s. It's a big, well, the Premier League hasn't, but that you know, those teams have. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know how you could beat it.
Yeah.
I think it's something to savor.
Well, it used to be when I was growing up, too, the Super Bowl was always a blowout, almost always a blowout. There were a couple of good ones, but you remember all the times the 49ers won handily and the Cowboys beating the tar out of the Steelers and the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, there were just so many bad games. And I think, as I mentioned in the open, this is the result of parity. And like, as frustrating as it is to watch a regular season and know that it's almost a crapshoot. You know, like, you've got, whatever, two elite teams maybe on any given year and two really bad teams, and the rest is just people jockeying for position and playing the battle of attrition, right?
Yeah.
But where it pays off is this. Because now we don't remember that the playoffs sucked and the regular season was trash.
Right.
We just got one of the greatest Super Bowls ever.
If not the. And I have a hard... The people that have called in and chime in if you wish at 3391140 and said, no, it's not the greatest one ever. It's the greatest, you know, second.
Greatest comeback ever. Yeah.
That's reasonable. It wasn't good for four quarters.
It's a reasonable argument. I
guess it just depends on what you think makes a game great.
It's drama combined. You had your memorable play times two, Julio Jones, and then, of course, Julian Edelman's catch. Yeah. Okay. You had that. You had a legend cementing his legacy in both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You had the new kid on the block and the MVP, Matt Ryan. You had the Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman scenario. You had
Julio Jones.
Dan Quinn looking for retribution against a team that beat his Seahawks. You had all that going on. And then for me, what sets up drama in a movie, okay, and sports or a real-life movie? The protagonist...
Somebody dies? I don't know.
No, basically somebody gets their ass beat for an entire movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they raise their sword. Right. That's exactly it. Rocky got his ass beat for 8 rounds, and then something clicked at halftime with Rocky Brady, and the music started. Nobody here is a Patriots fan. I do not care about the Patriots, but I have to respect what happened.
Did you guys see when they did the major sports titles? For Boston and Atlanta,
15 in the last 10
years. It was like 39-1 or something like that.
By the way, America brought home the Ryder Cup in golf. That's a great point there on the text line as well. We come back with 4 down territory in 3 minutes on the drive. Don't go away. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Patriots Radio Network there on the call. That's when they came back from down 25 to tie the game, which would go to overtime. Guys, is this the greatest Super Bowl ever?
To me, it is. I think drama is built by adversity, and you saw a team deal with about as much adversity as possible in the first half and a half, and then they came back and did it. You had all the makings of it. First overtime game in Super Bowl history, biggest comeback, biggest choke. Yeah, I think this is the greatest Super Bowl ever.
I think looking at it overall, you have to say yes, but I understand. I think it's about, you know, people's perception of what makes a great game. And so to say that, oh, well, it was horrible for the first half, like, I get people saying that. But for me, overall, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And especially you factor in that first, can you believe it took 50 Super Bowls for there to be an overtime game?
Yeah.
It's close, because I can think of several in my mind, and the one that always stands out to me is the Broncos' first Super Bowl against the Packers, which just was a thrilling game. But when you look at the way that this ended with two teams, it's always two teams leaving it out on the field, but between Julio Jones and Edelman, and then the extra effort by guys like James White and whatever, just unbelievable. You can't top it.
Yeah, by the way, James White breaks the Super Bowl record for receptions.
Yeah.
That's pretty
damn good. Kind of a big deal.
Yep, second down.
That there's the Westwood One call, and the moment when everybody really thought it was over, when Atlanta took a big lead, but they end up losing. Biggest choke ever.
I think absolutely it is. And you look at the difference in the demeanor on the field. That's what's so funny to me, because in the first half, it looked like the Falcons had all the confidence in themselves in the world. Second half, it's like they stuck their heads up their butts, seriously. And looking at Matt Ryan pacing on the sidelines and Tom Brady when they were, you know, when that game was on the line, Matt Ryan couldn't sit down. He was all over the place. When the Patriots were down, Tom Brady just sat on the sideline. Like, he was prepared. Like, there was no doubt in his mind. He had the confidence in himself and the team. Matt Ryan, not so much.
Yeah, that feeling when you just, you know that it's slipping away and there's nothing you can do about it. That was the Falcons last night. They were sliding. They were caught in an avalanche, and they knew it. They're just looking around like, somebody save us, please. Yeah. All they had to do was not lose yardage. Like, they were in field goal range.
Yep.
Just don't lose the yardage, but you blew it. 23 yards and out of field goal range.
And we'll get to that on third down, too. I think it is. Now, this is where it becomes a fun philosophical debate. Now, for me, in my lifetime, and I'm biased, the biggest choke up to this point was Lakers-Kings game 7. Kings going 2 of 20 from 3. 16 of 30.
Oh, we meant all sports?
From the free throw line.
You're talking about the 3-1
lead.
You're talking about the Super Bowl.
And that's where it comes in. And then you go back even further, and you go the Red Sox. The Yankees up on the Red Sox 3-0 in 2004 in the ALCS.
But that's the thing it's about. All you guys are talking about, seriously, though, are series. This is a single game.
So that's the question. That's why I said it becomes fun, because is it a bigger choke to choke in the second half of the same game, or is it a bigger choke to repeat? You lost. You go home, you shower, you visit your family, you come back, you lose again. You go home, you shower, you visit, you lose again. So which is a bigger choke job? I don't know, but at least in football, considering the stakes, biggest choke job in history.
Guys, the Atlanta Falcons stepped off the field. Their offense stepped off the field with 8 minutes and 24 seconds to go in the fourth quarter and didn't come back on for the rest of the game and overtime.
That's insane.
Pretty incredible.
That's insane.
The play that everybody believes was the momentum changer, the fumble. Dumber play call, Bevel passing or Shanahan passing, and does this make you worry at all about Shanahan as the new Niners head coach?
Oh. And they reset what he's talking about with Bevel, would you? Reset the Bevel thing and all that for those listening.
Because Daryl Bevel was when the Seahawks were at the one, and they needed to just give it to Marshawn Lynch, because this is an absolute confirmed fact. I've done my research. Never once in his life did Marshawn Lynch get stopped for a loss.
Done the research myself.
I sure as hell never saw it.
Marshawn Lynch is still pissed about that call.
That was the big one. Because, like, listen, you can second guess Kyle Shanahan. There was some weird stuff there. But you know what? You go with what got you there. It wasn't 1 yard to the end zone. You got there on the arm of your MVP, Matt Ryan. Play ball, dude. It's not your fault that the idiots held, or that, you know, guys couldn't block or whatever it might be.
Is it, though? Because you did sense the momentum shift. It's not like they were playing phenomenal lights out.
And I'll disagree. I'll disagree with you to a point, Nate. Yes, you go with what you got, what got you there. But in that game, what got you there was Tevin Coleman and LeGarrette Blount and Devontae Freeman. Thank you. They've been running it down the throat of the Patriots all game long, and then they went away from that. All you had to do was run and kick the freaking field goal. You didn't do it. You lost fourth down.
I need to correct myself really quick. Atlanta did get the ball back with 5 minutes, 50 seconds.
We were discussing this together in here.
Hey, it sounded cooler the other way.
Yes, it did.
Mr. Hot Take Cannon himself, Tom Brady there. Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. Can we finally put this debate to bed?
Well, apparently no, not if you go on social media, and not in these parts where you have a ton of Niner fans, and I get that. But anybody at this point who does not say Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in history and tries to make a case for any other quarterback is just flat out in denial and wrong. And I'm sorry, because it's an opinion-based thing. I get that. But you're in freaking denial. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, regardless of how you factor it.
He is. And by the way, that play by Bevel, that was the worst one, because that was a game winner. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, guys. He is absolutely the greatest quarterback ever, and it's not close. Last night, even if they lost, he's still the greatest quarterback ever, because he's set the bar so high that it has become a matter of course for this team to get into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's what we just assume it's going to happen, and we don't even judge the guy on anything anymore other than did you win or lose the Super Bowl that year. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Been to 7, won 5. Can't beat it.
Jersey Mike's is a proud sponsor of Four Down Territory. Check them out at jerseymikes.com for their locations right here in Sacramento, including Watt Avenue and, of course, the Town and Country Village. Get your sub served, Mike's, away. We'll take a break. When we come back, it was the greatest year in sports history, the greatest 12 months, I should say. We'll tell you why, and we'll break down much more of the Super Bowl. Sean Salisbury at 8 o'clock. Don't go away, kids. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. 7:37, time to visit a Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift. A little bit of notes here, not that you should care, but don't say I didn't warn you. Next week, it is the, I believe it's the Katie and Nate show, isn't it? I'm not sure, is it?
Next week?
Excuse me?
Is it, because I don't know if you're going somewhere next week.
What is next week?
Next week is, I don't know, the week after this. I'm gone next week, I'm on vacation, see you later. It'll be, I think, the two of you.
Yeah, like, I'm gone Friday, Thursday and Friday.
Have you requested it off yet? Have you put it in your paperwork?
Months ago.
Kevin Sherritt's in the other room, our boss. Can we get a ruling on that? Has Katie requested her days off? What'd he say?
He said he couldn't hear you.
We'll get to that later. Anyways, so someone will be here next week to entertain us. So, a lot of people holding on the phone lines. We'll get to you now. And chime in if you will. Here's what's on the table for this segment. We got a full segment before Sean Salisbury. 20 minutes nonstop sports talk for you at KHDK. Sean will join us at 8:05. Here's what's on the table. We believe that this was the best 12 months in sports history. Tell us we're wrong. That's number one. Number two, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the position. And if you're tired of hearing that all day today, just rest assured, I think it's going to go away for a while, and we really want to put it to bed. But I am interested to hear your counter so that we can slap you down and tell you how wrong you are. So there's that's number two. And then number three and four and five. Are you worried about Kyle Shanahan? Did he help choke that game away before he comes to San Francisco? Was this the greatest Super Bowl ever? Was this the biggest choke job in sports history? There's so much on the table for you at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Dan, you're on with Katie and Nate.
Hey, Dave. Hi, Dave, Katie, Nate. How are you?
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm a Niners fan, and I just have to say that Brady supplanted Montana as the best quarterback ever.
Agreed. Huh?
And not only that, he supplanted Jerry Rice as the best football player ever.
Ooh. That's interesting now.
There's a
I think Brady is the best football player of all time now. And it's the best sports year in the last 12 months, for sure.
You know, and Dan brings up a good point, too, because the ones that say, well, Brady cheated. Well, Jerry Rice admitted he cheated. So, with the stick.
Yeah, I don't care about any of that.
With the what?
With the stick him on his hand.
When we're ranking greatest football players ever, to me, there's two categories. There's quarterbacks and there's everyone else. And I'm not ever going to put a quarterback. I'm not ever going to compare him to a Jerry Rice or a Jim Brown or a Barry Sanders. Like, they're not. Even though, like, say, linemen or running backs and wide receivers don't do the same thing, but they do, kind of. They've got to run with the ball. They've got to rely on someone else to get it to them. They've got to make plays when they have the balls in their hands. You know, quarterbacks do it in a completely different way, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but I'm never going to say a quarterback is the single greatest football player of all time.
Let me ask you this, though. In basketball,
they don't do enough football things. They throw.
When Tom Brady ran for, what, 15 yards yesterday? I'm like, is he the slowest man on the planet?
That's fine, dude. Put him at another position.
Yeah.
But in basketball, for example, you say Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time. And, of course, there's an argument there. In baseball, you'd say, I don't know, there's a much bigger argument there. But let's just say Barry Bonds is the greatest ball player of all time. Mickey Mouse, whoever you want to pick, right? If you try to have that conversation in football, if you have to pick a number one, it is based on what you just said, which I totally get what you're saying. Can you? I mean, how about this? Is Tom Brady a better quarterback than Jerry Rice was a receiver? Based on accomplishments, statistics, and the whole get.
That's a lot tougher one.
All right, let's move on, and let's all think about that at home.
I'm going to say no. I'll give up Joe Montana. I'm not giving up Jerry.
You could have stretched your answer a couple segments to keep the well, you know, meters and all
tune
that.
Tune in. I'll change my mind.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hi. And Katie.
Good morning. Hi. I'm glad that you know I'm not a gentleman.
Yeah. Katie's a gentleman.
Yeah. Kind of got that vibe earlier. So I just wanted to touch on a few things. Yesterday, I missed the entire first half of the game. I was actually snowboarding. So I caught the halftime show with Nate's favorite, our free world leader, actually. I definitely did not listen to that. Anyways, I also caught Willie McGinnis's words of encouragement at the end of the game, looking straight into the camera, telling everyone that they have better kiss the MF trophy.
Yeah.
So I just thought that I guess Fox is gonna bite the bullet with the fines they're gonna take with the ratings that one earned last night. So. But yeah, I just want to let you guys know I stream you guys every day, so don't miss a minute. Love the show. Keep up the great work, guys.
Zachary, thank you. And because of that ass kissery, the end will forgive you for snowboarding in the first half of the Super Bowl. Mitch, you're on the drive. Mitch in New Jersey. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
How are you guys? Kate, Dave.
Morning.
I always forget the 3 o'clock.
That's Nate.
This is important. Yeah. Okay,
I'm
sorry.
You're good, buddy.
Get to the points here. I cannot believe you sure the 49ers want this coach. I mean, he had two good running backs. It was like a law firm there. You keep running the running backs. You have a big tight end. I don't know how he lost. I turned the game off towards the end of the third quarter. I thought it was an, I didn't
See,
think it was
Mitch,
that good of a game.
You should know better than that.
Mitchell.
Oh, I did.
Mitchell and Ness.
I know. The expression on Belichick and Tom's face, I guess they didn't panic. You could say that. I mean, they were disgusted. But it would have been so good for him not to get that fifth Super Bowl. But you got to put him as the best. Chamberlain is the best football player. Just like best basketball player is Will Chamberlain, the best baseball player is Willie Mays. But you got to put him back as the best quarterback, even though Joe Montana lost the game and Dan Marino, and there's another Italian guy here, and I'm throwing on the board on the table here. Dan Marino just didn't have enough. He was one of the best. But imagine if the Giants didn't beat the Patriots. Close games, both of them were. They're very exciting. He'd be 7-0. They'd be begging him to retire.
Thanks,
Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch. There's a lot there. I don't understand, and maybe I'm this stupid, and this is documented, I am, but I don't understand. Well, Tom lost two Super Bowls. He can't be the greatest ever.
That
Joe Montana
so
never.
He's been to more than anybody else.
Now, if you're Jim Kelly and you lost four straight, I understand bringing that up. He can never get over the hump. He can never win the big one. But my God, you're really gonna hold it against a guy for losing two of seven Super Bowls? He won five.
Dude, the NFL Network, which we have on, you know, we were watching it in here during the break. They had a graphic up on Tom Brady's numbers in the Super Bowl. He's first in like 5-6 different categories for passing yards, completions, attempts, touchdowns. Like he lost two Super Bowls, but he got to seven. Like I don't understand that kind of
And he's not done playing. No, by the way, either.
Even he's probably gonna play until he's 45. I hear that's what vegans do.
Dude, how amazing would it have been if Tom Brady dropped the mic last night, retired?
Oh, no.
Said, I've had enough of this. I'm done.
No,
I'm good.
No way.
I'm good.
Do you remember the last time that we went into a season where the Patriots weren't the prohibitive favorite in the AFC?
No.
And I mean, we can go, listen, this was a lot before my time. Maybe you can speak to it a little bit more, Dave. But even though, I mean,
because you're old.
Listen, you are, right?
Yeah, yes.
But I don't even know. It might even go a little bit past you. But in the 80s, when Joe Montana and the 49ers were at the peak of their prime, there was still competition in that division.
Yeah.
They had to deal, or in that division, in that conference, they had to deal with the Bears and the Cowboys and the Giants. You know, those teams were all there. With the Patriots every year, it's, come on, who's going to beat them? Come on, who's playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl? We try to talk ourselves into something every now and then. Like last year, I think it took us a while for us to believe that the Broncos were going to get past them. But still, every preseason,
right?
It's the Patriots and everybody else.
Tom Brady, to your point, has 61,582 yards. Now, just to kind of end the whole, because I think really the only guy you can bring up to compete with Brady is Montana, and I'm a Montana guy. Tom Brady has 61,500 yards, 61,582 to Montana's 4,551. Tom Brady has 456 touchdowns. Joe Montana has 273. Brady has 152 interceptions to Montana's 139. 97.2 rating for Brady, 92.3 for Montana. Tom Brady has 5 titles and 7 Super Bowls. Montana has 4 titles and 4 Super Bowls. By the way, Brady has 4 Super Bowl MVPs. I don't even see how it's an argument. Like, I really don't. And if you want to bring up, and this is the only thing that I can see people trying to hold on. Well, Tom Brady cheated. He cheated. Okay, let's break that down for a second. Carmen policy was like the Bernie Madoff of the salary cap back in the 80s. And back when you could boost your salary cap up and skirt it and circumvent it and sign an all-star freaking team. The owner, Eddie D., who I love, was booted out of the freaking league. The best wide receiver to ever play the game, which, by the way, Tom Brady has spent 1 year with a Hall of Fame receiver. That was Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Has had no Hall of Fame receiver. His running backs, no running backs. Whereas Montana had Roger freaking Craig. He had Ronnie Lott. He had Jerry Rice. He had Tom Rathman. I don't know. I'm just throwing him in there. So you want to talk about cheating. The 49ers cheated every bit as much as the Patriots cheated. Sorry. They did.
Yeah.
They did.
And if, I mean, you want to play the numbers game too?
Because sure.
If you throw the yards out there and it's like you'll get the response, hey, it's a different era, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Tom Brady's 39 years old. We all are under the belief that he's got at least 2 more good years in him,
yeah.
Right? When Joe Montana was 39 years old, that was the 3rd of 4 seasons. In his 4 seasons prior, 3 out of 4 seasons, he had a lower quarterback rating than Colin Kaepernick did this year. And in the 1 season that he didn't, he threw 21 passes and was out with injury for 15 games.
Yeah. Hey, but Nate, that was back when you could hit players.
I was saying, the dude was done by the time he hit 39.
Yeah. Tom Brady has tapped the fountain of youth. And this goes, and sports has changed overall in terms of athletes taking care of their bodies. And I know some people will say, oh, well, the NFL's trying to make it a safer game. It was a much more physical game. I'm sorry, you're still running into each other like 2 cars colliding.
Yes.
It's no different. Like, they're trying to protect concussions and things like that. But Tom Brady has figured out how to take phenomenal care of his body to play at a high level, despite the fact that he's about to apply for AARP. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is something... In order to be great, there's multiple factors
yes.
that go into it, and he has figured out all of those factors.
It's pretty damn simple. And then you throw in, well, he's got the greatest coach of all time. Well, okay, that greatest
Which
coach
means
was...
they've had to do it with, like, picking up random people off the...
Hold, please. The greatest coach of all time is 41-55 without Tom Brady. So I believe Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time, but let's just point out that he was 41-55 before they drafted Tom Brady.
Okay, that's before they drafted him, though.
The year that he was drafted, 2000, gotcha. They went 11-5 with Drew Bledsoe.
But
Brady was on the damn team. I'm just saying.
In that he was drafted in the 6th round.
He was drafted He was drafted number 199. And here's a little tidbit for you. It's spray around the water cooler. The only other quarterback in NFL history that has 5 championships, including, you know, before the Super Bowl, is Bart Starr. Bart Starr was drafted number 200. So that's
Brady was 199. He's the greatest of all time.
Starr
then.
Was
yeah,
200.
That's gotta be what it
the
is,
whole
yeah.
Belichick thing. Well, he's a system quarterback. Well, what was Montana? What was the West Coast offense? Not a system. Was Bill Walsh just a turd? Oh, Bill Walsh is the greatest. Well, George Seifert won a Super Bowl the very next year. Well, Matt Castle came in. He went 11-5. Steve Young came in and won a damn championship.
Dave, where's your Fitbit? I'm worried about your blood pressure.
It's just so stupid.
What do you think ultimately is going to end up having a greater legacy to the Bill Belichick coaching tree or the Bill Walsh coaching tree?
Probably Walsh, but it's too early to tell. And Belichick's coming on strong. I mean, when you look at that Walsh tree, we'd have to pull that tree out because it's big and bushy.
But when
and then is it the Belichick coaching tree or is it the Parcells coaching tree?
Well, I mean, I guess there's that too, but that's kind of the whole point.
Sure.
Bill Walsh started it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he was the dude that started it. And when Belichick does that, I mean, who's made it out of there? Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Bill O'Brien.
You're right. No, you're right. I just say it because he's still going.
Josh McDaniels won a playoff game with Tim Tebow, didn't he?
You bring that garbage, too, by the way, about how you couldn't hit. First off, Tom Brady's been knocked on his ass a few times and had his knee shredded. That's one thing. Secondly, if you're going
to. Several of them came yesterday.
Yes. And if you're going to go to that angle, well, if you're a Montana lover that's going to go with the whole, well, you couldn't hit, you can't, you know, they're sissies today. Okay, then Terry Bradshaw's the greatest quarterback of all time. And shut up. Then Terry Bradshaw's the greatest because he had four Super Bowls. He and he got hit a lot harder in Montana back in the day when you could like bite people and like pee on them. sorry. So you can't have all those things. And it's really a generational divide. Old people are going to call him and be like, yeah, Otto Graham. And then, you know, dummies like me are going to be like, no, there's no way. Tom, and the millennials are going to be like, football's stupid anyways.
Tom Brady completed.
Gender stereotyping. Jeez. Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
Tom Brady completed more passes yesterday than Matt Ryan attempted by almost double.
Yeah. Which isn't exactly Matt Ryan. That's a Kyle Shanahan thing, too, though, by the way. Jesus, you're MVP, and you basically put Matt Ryan in your pocket for half the game, which worked just fine. All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Ken. I love Ken, and before Ken gets started, I just want to see if I can get this right. Ken, are you going to make salient points about how Tom Brady is not the greatest of all time?
Well, I'm going to make salient points that I think that when you talk about quarterbacks, period, you cannot say what quarterback is greatest of all time, and I'll tell you why.
No,
because it's such a subjective thing, because, once again, as you point out, nobody won more championships in the 60s than Bart Starr. But nobody's going to look at the 60s and tell you Bart Starr was a better quarterback than Johnny Unitas. Nobody won more championships in the 70s than Terry Bradshaw. But real football people will tell you that Roger Staubach and probably Kenny Stabler and definitely Fran Tarkenton were better quarterbacks than Terry Bradshaw. So to me, it's a subjective thing. As you take a look at what Brady has done, and when you take a look at it, Brady will go down as the most accomplished quarterback of all time, hands down, no doubt about it. Brady also benefits from a system that allows him to take advantage of the rules with the receivers that he has. I'll give you an example. If you take a look at New England, a lot of the routes they run with Edelman and the smaller receivers are crossing routes. In the 70s, you can run those routes because you get your receivers killed. In the 70s, you had cornerbacks like Willie Brown and Mel Blount who could literally push you all the way down the field. There was no five-yard chuck rule. In fact, you had to have skills as a receiver so great at route running that you had the ability to shake somebody 15 yards down the field who had been shadowing you. You cannot get away from the rules changes that make today basically 7-on-7 spoke drill. And if anybody doesn't know 7-on-7 spoke drill, all that is when you take your backs and receivers and you take the linebackers and DBs and you play. There are no linemen. And basically you have a quarterback that's not being rushed. In today's game, a lot of the rules protections allow basically 7-on-7. And so Brady is the greatest practitioner of that. I don't think, and this is just my opinion, I don't think anybody played quarterback any better than Kenny Stabler played in 1976 for the Raiders when they went 13-1, and you could hold his receivers all over the field. At the same time, I don't think anybody played quarterback any better than Dan Marino did in 1984 when he ushered in this new age passing thing. So,
Ken, you know, it's the point that you're making is really valid because we do it in all sports. We compare players. We want to know who the best is. But rules changes, just the everything from in terms of the changes in the game, all of that stuff on top of sports science, all of these things that are making athletes more incredible, more, there's all this stuff. But I want you to know something. We played at our golf tournament yesterday, and the foursome that Dave and I were playing in, by the way.
Yes.
We had one of the listeners saying, hey, that caller, Ken, is by
That's
far
true.
My favorite
That's
caller ever. So
very, very true.
You are always phenomenal and make wonderful points.
Except Tom Brady's greatest.
Yeah, well, there's... That's his opinion.
No, you know what? Ken's amazing. And Ken is one of the guys that can bring up and cite examples, which is what I love about him. And that is a phenomenal and a fun debate. It's one of the cool things about sports talk radio. I love debates like this because there's no right answer. And everybody can just yell at each other.
That's the thing. That's why there'll always be sports
yes.
radio.
Except I'm right. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll ask Sean Salisbury. He played quarterback. We'll ask him what he thinks of all this hullabaloo and malarkey in the game yesterday and legacies and all that good stuff. It's Sean Salisbury on The Drive next. In 5 minutes, don't go away. Sports 1140 KHTK.